All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, 12 and 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory, for I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I could not tell, or whether out of the body I could not tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Brother Hunter, you lead some word of prayer, please.
Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. We've done for us here. God, we pray to take this time to speak to all of us, please. Father, have the Holy Spirit make it. Put your word to draw us between the word that the wickedness of God is going to be tools in our hands, please. Let's take Brother Jim, Lord, hide him. Yes. God, use him. Fill his mouth, Lord God, and his thoughts exactly as you want, Father. Yes. We'll put it across. Ask you, Lord, to bless him, Jesus.
Amen. Now, the account that Paul's talking about here is over in Acts chapter 14, about where Paul got stoned there at Lystra, and he got caught up into the third heaven. And what's happening here is Paul has a meeting with God. And if there's anything that you and I need today, is a meeting with God. We need God to come down this morning and shake our very souls and to impart life into our very beings and give us the truth of the Word of God, that you and I can be better and stronger soldiers for Jesus Christ. Many of you have traveled a long journey to get here, and we pray tonight that the journey will be worth every mile that you came, that God will meet with you and God will walk in your heart and He'll speak to your heart the words of God. And we'll be a lot better off than what we was when we came. You know, Paul got to meeting God and he got wanting to go back to be with Him, and he went into being a suicidal maniac, we know that. And in chapter 12, Paul, in verses 1 and 2, he got a glimpse of glory. And boy, if you ever get a glimpse of the glory of God tonight, it'll change your life. I mean, you'll be a different Christian if God ever shows you His glory. And then in verse 9, he showed him His grace. And then in verse 10, he showed him Himself. He showed him God Himself for Christ's sake. When you're weak, then you're strong in God. But folks, there's anything you and I need. We don't need a bunch of preachers. There's going to be so many preachers in hell, they're going to have their feet sticking out the windows. We don't need any more preachers. We just need you that are called to preach to get down to business and get it done. Stop pussyfooting around and start preaching the Word of God like you're supposed to do. Stop whittling with it and get down to business. Now here, there's a meeting with God. That's what you and I are looking for. I am. You'll notice if God will meet with us in verses 1 through 4, God will do something. I'm here to tell you, I got a good outline. Here it is. If God gets in it, it'll be a great message. But if He don't, I'll bore you to death. See, I ain't got enough jokes, I ain't got enough illustrations. If I ain't got enough God, I can't help you. But if God will step in, we have to realize that the message is more important than the messenger. And unless God touches the message, nothing will get done. But God can touch anybody that He wants to touch and speak through anybody He wants to speak of to help you out. I mean, if he spoke through Balaam's ass, he could speak through me. But you'll notice when God meets with his people, as he did with Paul, he's going to give you a revelation of truth. He said down there in verse 1, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." When Paul got to meeting with God here and got caught up in the third heaven paradise, he got some real revelation. He got New Testament doctrine is what he got. I know he got it down there maybe at Arabia, but God gave New Testament doctrine to Paul. And if our doctrine doesn't line up with Paul, me and you are preaching false doctrine. All Scripture is profitable. Old Testament, New Testament, the dry cleaners are wrong. You can use all the Scripture application that thing the right way. But when it comes to doctrine, it's Paul. And the first application of Scripture is doctrine. You don't get your doctrine right, this meeting won't help you out. This meeting is to ground you in the Word of God and to give you New Testament doctrine and get it straight. We got a bunch of charlatan, scoundrel, strutter, shammers up in Bristol, Tennessee. Say, "I'm from there." "You're a strutting, shamming fool."
Yes, sir.
Got the sense that God gave a whistle pig when it comes to doctrine. For you Yankees, that's a hedgehog. Said when you get saved by the grace of God, you don't have to repent no more. That's the wickedest doctrine that ever was belched up out of the exhaust pipes of hell. You better repent of your sin daily. You hear me? God can fellowship with a man with sin in his nature, but he'll not have nothing to do with you unless you get your sin out of your heart. Got slain in the spirit, they said up there. Will you come up and get slain? No. Why not? It ain't doctrinal. Amen. So Lynch, you're crazy on doctrine. So was Paul. Amen. Doctrine's important. Amen. They up there where I'm at, they're crazy. If Mamma said it was right, it's right. And if Papa seen something, it was right. It ain't right unless it's according to the Word of God. Amen. Care what your Mamma said. You'll notice that he gave them the revelation of the Lord, and that's New Testament doctrine. I believe in the virgin birth, don't you?
Yes.
Why, sure, that's doctrine. I believe in the resurrection of Christ. If there was no virgin birth, there could have been no resurrection. I believe in the Word of God, don't you?
Yes.
I believe in eternal security.
Yes.
I'm a Baptist, no doubt about it. But I ain't a free willer. Neither am I a Calvinist. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. You'll notice that he gave them this truth. He said down there in verse 6, "For I will say the truth." All right, if we got a meeting with God, there's got to be truth. There's got to be truth about New Testament doctrine. You'll notice the truth here in verse 2 tells you about heaven. That's the place me and you's going, believe it or not. Some of you got a face that make an undertaker cry this morning. But I'm here to tell you, if you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. And you're going to get there one of these days. When you get there, you're going to realize something, that it was because of God that you got there. You'll notice also he told him about the new body. He said it two times. He said it in verse 2. He said, "I was caught up, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell." In verse 3, he said, "Whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell." That tells me something about the new body. It must be like the old one, just a little bit different. It's sinless. This mortality puts on immortality. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed one day. And everything you do and everything you think and everything you say and everything you hear is going to be absolutely perfect. You're going to be just like the brethren one day. Yeah, God's got a celestial body and terrestrial bodies. One of these days when we get a hold of God and God gets a hold of us, this thing's going to be changed. Boy, I can't wait for the big change day. But I'll tell you what, you need to get a glimpse of that this week. You need to realize, no matter what misery or what you're going through, we got a better day coming. You got a grand reunion day. And if you have a real meeting with God, you'll figure that out. Then there's going to be a catching away. He said, he teaches them here about a great catching up to the third heaven. That's where me and you's going. We ain't going just where the birds fly or the stars are and the moon is. We're going way under beyond that. We're going to the very throne room of God Almighty one day. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, we're going to get caught out of here. You ought to get a hold of that this week. Notice something else. When you got a meeting with God, you'll get a revelation of truth given, verse 1 through 4, and verses 5 through 12. You'll get the right evaluation of truth. Now you hear me. God ain't in anything that don't make down-home country sense. If it don't make sense, God ain't in it. If you can't explain it, it might be God. But if it don't make sense, God ain't within around that thing, because God's a sensible God. You'll notice he gives you the right evaluation of truth. You and I believe the Bible, don't we? Well, that's the truth. Now let's see if you're evaluating the truth that you're given rightly. That's the problem. Some of you get a big sword. The problem is you think it's for cutting everybody's head off. And you think your rude and crudeness is of God. God's a perfect gentleman. You'll show in verse 6 that truth doesn't make you any better, just makes you wiser. Look at verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be or heareth of me. Just because God gave you the truth, you ain't any better than anybody else. Some of you think you're a big man or a big woman because God gave you the truth. You ought to thank God that He gave you the truth. Hey, when I got saved, I said, God, if you'll show me the truth and help me, I'll try to serve you. And He gave me the truth. Now it's my responsibility to handle that truth right. And I'll tell you what, this crudeness and rudeness is fine in the field, but it ain't fine in the churches. When God gives you the truth, you ought to make that truth make you wiser, and you ought to be able to handle people and deal with people better. Instead of chasing them away, it ought to draw them. Truth's what drew me to God. I'd been lied to for a long time, and it was the truth of the Word of God that drew me to Jesus Christ. And when I found I got saved, and then I got the truth of the King James Bible, I always didn't have it. I went to Midwestern Baptist College. They took my Bible away. I didn't know whether it was right or wrong. Gave us Amplified Version. They said that was it. I read it. I found out that the longing for drugs and liquor was coming back awful quick. And I met an old man named Herbert Noe. He said that wasn't the Bible. He said that Bible was out of hell. He was right. I started reading the King James Bible, and the liquor started going away, and the longing for drugs started going away. That Bible began to cleanse my soul, and I got the truth, but I just couldn't handle it. I had to go beat everybody up with it. Had to get that big sword out and go chop everybody up with the truth. See, they didn't know about tribulation. They didn't know about Judas being the Antichrist. They didn't know all that stuff, but I was going to make sure they're going to get the truth. Whether they wanted it, could understand it, couldn't understand it, kick them in the knee, stomp them on the head, they're going to get it. I'm going to beat them up with the Bible and pour it in their ear so they'll get it. Just like some yens. Well, the problem is you got the right sword, you just ain't growed into it. That's the problem. You'll notice when you get the truth, verses 7 through 8, right evaluation, truth requires a thorn. When you get the truth, it requires a thorn to keep you down. They say Paul's problem was his eyesight. Well, verse 7 said it was exaltation. He said, I need to be kept down because the truth has a way of exalting you. Because you know something more than somebody else, so what you need every week ain't a shower, it's a new hat because your head's growing. But what God does, He puts a thorn in that flesh.
Yeah.
To show you that you really ain't what you think you are, and God's Word is everything that He says it is. And God puts that thorn in there and keeps a twisting and a twisting and twisting, you get the right evaluation of that book. You notice something else. Truth is sufficient in every application of life. Verse 9. My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So it don't matter what we have to go through. We got the truth. Because if we go through it, then the power of Christ rests on me. If anything that I fear in this whole wide world, I don't fear man. See, I'm a big man. You don't scare me. I kill better gooch than you. You don't scare me. You know what scares me? I'll tell you what scares me. Spiritual withdrawal. That's what I'm afraid of. That God Almighty might pull away from me for a while because I ain't doing right with His book. But I found out, no matter how bad the burdens are, or the heartaches are, the misery is, found out something, that His grace is sufficient. Well, I got a real burden on my heart. And God's really struck me lately about some things in my own home. And I'm going to tell you what, God's grace is sufficient, man.
Anybody?
Thank you, Lord.
He has a way of piling up next to you, boy. He has a way of putting His arm around you and hugging you up. Really blessing you. And I'll tell you what, no matter how bad the thorn is, the arm of love around Him that He puts around you is well worth the pain of the thorn. I got a boy 17. He's kind of going prodigal on me. And I raised him right. Done him right. Gave him too much. The old proverbial winds of the hog pen seem to be calling him. I warn him. And every time I get some truth out of that book, God twists that thorn again. But I'm here to tell you, His grace is sufficient. Say, what if he goes to hog pen? His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. See, because I know Jesus a long time before I had him. See, you got to get the right evaluation of truth. Say, you're supposed to quit. No, I'm not a quitting. Ain't no sense in quitting. I've come too far to quit. God's truth is worth more to me than this whole wide world. I wouldn't sell it for a bit. I got the truth of the Word of God. I'm going to get the right evaluation of it. But it's going to take a thorn, yeah. But the thorn is worth the truth. Notice something else. Truth brings us closer to God. Look at verse 10. Therefore I take pleasures. Watch out. In infirmities. You like it, do you? Fun, ain't it? Reproaches. Say they're lying about me, preacher. Thank God they ain't telling the truth. You'd really be in a hum then. Necessities. Persecution. Distresses. For Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Now notice them. I'm trying to hurry. Verses 11 through 15, we see the reality of truth concerning the ministry. There's some truth that goes beyond just the regular man and woman. It comes down to my and your shoulders, fellas. That's called to preach. And God gave us the truth for a reason. To minister to people. You'll notice in verse 11 and 12, Paul was overqualified. And so are you. You fellas that graduate out of this Bible school, you get out there, those folks don't know no Bible. You've got so much truth I'm here to tell you, you can preach from now to the end of the kingdom with the truth you've learned. You're overqualified in the Bible, but you got to learn to milk that truth down.
Amen.
To help people grow and to help people get stability in their lives and that God may bless them.
Amen.
What good's it going to do them if they got their family messed up and their wife running off on them and you're telling them about some wacko doctrine?
Yeah,
you need to give them something they can chew on.
Yeah.
Besides backer.
Yeah.
Say, can a man chew backer and go to heaven? Yeah, but he's got to go to hell to spit.
Yeah.
But Paul was overqualified. You got so many of these boot-licking. Doctors around me. Honorary. Boot-licking, butt-kissing. That's what they are! Crowd-running, camp-meeting junkies! Doctor, doctor, doctor. They ain't no more a doctor than Captain Kangaroo's a captain, amen. The truth of the matter is, amen. Just because you're a doctor don't mean nothing. That just means you can describe what the problem is and give a prescription to fix it. You'll notice this church that he's writing to, verse 13, had inferiority problems. So do some of you fellas. If you look at this church here and you say, boy, my church ain't doing good. Well, how do you know what it's doing? Say, well, it ain't growing. Maybe God don't want it to grow right now. He said, I will build my church. And then the gates of hell can't prevail against it. If you don't let God build it, then the gates of hell begin to rise against your church. You better make sure God's got you doing what you're doing. Say, well, I got this inferiority problem. Every time I go to somebody else's church, they're all shouting and praising God, and their church is growing, and mine ain't. Well, maybe God just got you in a spin section right now. Just hang on. God will bless it if it's right and if it's got the truth. You've got to find some people as crazy as you to come. Might take him a while. Look at verse 14. This is the reality of truth concerning the ministry. You can't look at people with money in your eyes. And look at nobody with money in your eyes. I asked God to send me a millionaire. I heard all these fellows had millionaires. So send me one, Lord. The Lord said, well, you just write him off. I said, yeah, but if he'd tithe a little bit before he run off, it'd be worth it. A penny out of a dime would be pretty good on him for a while. Use the best and drain the rest. Isn't that right? But you notice verse 14. Here's the reality of the truth concerning the ministry. Behold, the third time I am come to you again. Come to you. And I will not be burdensome to you. Boy, that's Paul. He didn't want to be a burden to nobody. That's good. Watch. For I seek not yours, but you. Hey, I don't seek yours. See that right there? That's not my heart. That's my wallet. When you evaluate God with that, you ain't right with God. I don't seek yours, I seek you. I didn't come for an offering. Say, you won't get one. Good, I'll tell everybody in America that you didn't give me one. No, I didn't come for an offering. You know what I came for? For you. That's the right evaluation of the ministry. When we're called the minister, we're called the minister unto. God will take care of me and you. God will take care of us. We don't got to worry about that. And he's an awful good boss. He'll take care of us no matter what's going on. But the thing is, you and I, if we got that truth, we got to realize something. We're to impart our lives to you. Someone told me, I jumped off this pulpit last night like a fool. I think I broke my heel. I called my wife and began to cry. Talk a little bit. She said, you old fool. She said, you're 49 years old. You're going to kill yourself. She said, slow down. But you know what? This might be the last time I ever stand in the pulpit.
Amen.
Might be. Say, so I'm going to do the best I can do.
Amen.
Say, well, you don't got to jump. You don't got to jump. You ain't got to swell and get sweaty. You don't have to do that. I tried your way before. It don't fit me. You'll notice something. Look at verse 15. And I will very gladly be spent for you, though more abundantly I love you, lest I be loved. Pastors, you know that, don't you? You spend your life for people, they leave you. You give everything you got for them. You give your family. You give your time. You give your life. You study, you pray, you visit. And the more you fall in love with those people, the more they see the grass is greener on the other side. I learned something about living in the country. The grass is always greener over the septic tank. You want to find where she's at, you can follow her. And I'll tell you what, you get down in there, you'll get more on you than what you wanted to have on you. Being spent, one more, verses 16 through 21. Revealing the earnestness of Paul's heart in verses 16 through 21. In verse 16, Paul said, but be it so, I did not burden you. He's worried about being a burden. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. You notice when Paul came around to these churches, he wasn't a burden to them. And you notice verses 17 and 18, he didn't let his friends be a burden to him. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? I like that. Paul said, I'm not going to be a burden to you, and whoever I have come in and preach ain't going to be a burden to you. Problem with preachers today, you know what they want to do? They want to have a guy come in and then pile him up with a bunch of money in respect, thinking that they're going to have him. And they'll give him a bunch of money. What we call that is foolishness. Politics. God ain't a bit in that thing. If you come and spend yourself, it'll be worth it. Those two boys that got saved last night, absolutely worth more than this world could ever pay. Went someplace last night, little trailer, the boy. Is he here? Where's the one boy got saved? There he is right there. Stand up for a minute, buddy. Right there. Come from New Jersey, right? Amen. Good to see you, buddy. Had those big old baggy britches on. You're looking cool, man. He foot loose and fancy free, man. Jesus came along, knocked on his door. You can't buy that. Can't buy it. He's here this morning. You can't buy that. Look at something else. Verses 17 and 18, his friends weren't. And then when you got a meeting with God, verses 19 through 21, the preaching will be right. It'll touch your heart. Too much preaching's up here. Ain't none of it down here. Someone said, will you come preach for me? I said, no, I'll preach at you. Heck with that preaching for you. I can't draw. Doc can draw. I can't draw, man. I can draw stick figures. It's about it, man. Say, well, what do? I'm going to get up here and peel your hide. And I'm going to shoot at you. And if I miss you, it's because I'm a bad shot, not that I ain't aiming. But you'll notice the preaching will be right. Look at verse 20. Or look what preaching is, verse 19. Again, think we that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ's sake. That's what preaching is. Hey, I'm trying the best I can to speak for God through Christ's sake right now to you. That's what preaching is. But look what preaching does. In Bible preaching, truthful preaching gets rid of debates. It gets rid of envyings. It gets rid of wrath. It gets rid of strife. It gets rid of backbiting. Gets rid of whispering. Gets rid of swellings. Like some of you look right now, look swelled up. Gets rid of tumults. You see, when God meets with us, the preaching is directed to help you get rid of that excess baggage that you put on your ship. And you notice also, verse 21. That it gives you a burden for other people that aren't saved or that are saved and got out of church. That's what a meeting of God will do with you. Look at verse 21. Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you. You'll notice that a meeting with God will humble us, and that I shall bewail with many which have already sinned and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. When God meets with us, He meets with us to encourage us, to bless us, to charge us up to do one thing, to go out there and get people that are lost, and then get people that's backslidden out on God. Now I preach not because of what it provides, I preach because who it's about. But I have to ask myself when I preach many times, am I as willing to get up and to impart life through the Word of God as I am to mash out the wickedness of sin in this world? I have to ask myself, do I just want to kick people, or do I want to help people? And if God meets with us, He'll change our hearts, folks. And you'll go home and you'll begin to minister back to people because God gave you that truth. And you'll get back there and they'll notice the difference. And they'll see the difference of the application of truth. And when they see it, they'll come to it. It'll give you a burden for loss. It'll give you a burden for those folks that used to be in your church that ain't going to church no more. And you said, I ain't had nothing to do with them. Ain't going to go get them. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus left the 99 to go get that one that walked out. And you and I got the truth, folks. We got it. But the problem is, we don't know the right evaluation of it. This book is more than a tool to make a living. God never taught a man how to make a living. He taught a man how to live. And you and I need to get busy to put this truth out that it might benefit somebody else. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Brother Ruckman.